Do those dice have their own specific bag?
No.
So you are allowed those dice to intermingle with the pure dice.
Yes. I shake them around. They're gonna cover my essence on them eventually.
So you're assuming that
Stick
your
my
essence
hand
is
in there.
greater and will eventually
My
cover the
essence
tainted
will be
dice.
greater. It's, listen, like you got that, like you that boyfriend t-shirt, and then you take it with you, right?
Yeah.
And then you just, it smells good, but then it loses its essence. But if I'm holding on to my dice all the time, it has my essence. But if you fucking touch them, no, just kidding. If you mess with my dice, then I have to like, okay, I'm in the middle of a game. I can't purify it yet. Like, and you give back the jacket so they can purify it and have their scent on it again, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now thinking about it, the boyfriend jacket, I didn't really think about it smelling like the boyfriend. I just like broken in clothes. So like the
Ah,
thrift store
interesting.
is the place for me. And I was like, oh, this hoodie is already broken in. I don't have to do any breaking in. Let me just wear it. And now I'm like, oh, well, maybe it was because
Oh my
it
gosh, what are
probably
we talking?
smelled like him at one point. Listen, I'm not,
I
I was
love the
nothing.
smell of dead old people in my clothes.
I don't wash them. I get my scent all over it.
You're right.
Should we start this thing?
Yeah, we should start this thing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And today, we're just fucking straight up chilling, dude.
We have no special guest.
And that's fine. It's been a while since we did that one. I think we did it like at the New Year's. And to be honest, we're getting close to that point in our podcast out like throwing out episodes date, so might as well, right?
That's true. We could.
Yeah, we have amazing guests. We have amazing returning guests, and it's just been a fun time. But, you know, also we haven't talked in a while, me and Alex, so just us two. And also Alex makes the podcast from what I'm hearing from all the babies. The babies love you. Yeah, shut the fuck up. You know it's true.
Listen, sometimes I just come in and I feel chaotic, right? I feed off the energy of the babies. And then I feel chaotic. And then sometimes I'm just like, what the fuck just came out of my mouth? And like, do they think I'm crazy? Like, because now I think I'm crazy based on what the fuck I've just said. And then I'm like, then the anxiety kicks in. And that's the
Yeah,
problem.
the anxiety beholds its own what's it called? Its own meaning to each of us. For me, it's paralysis. I don't do anything when I become anxious. Okay, I just moved. I haven't put out any episodes in a while. I'm starting to re-edit, not re-edit. Start editing again. There we go. And I have clothes, thin clothes, that need to be put away, and boxes that need to be disassembled. And I just either go to the gym or sit on this chair. And my dad is like, "You like music, don't you? Just play some music." And I'm like, "Yeah, but like when I get to the music, I'm already in this chair." And then all of a sudden, I'm like, "What am I doing here again? Oh yeah, I'm gonna do all X, Y, and Z." So it's hard for me to focus. I'm such an
Well,
idiot. But
no, I don't think you're an idiot because I've been trying to avoid being cozy because it's dropped 1,000 degrees. It's now winter. We went right past fall and then went to winter.
I don't even know her.
We didn't even see her. She didn't even stop. I mean, like it was like being in high school again. Like she just walked on by. So the time change happened, and then it got really cold. And I was like, those are my two triggers. Those are my triggers. Like, I'm cold, so I just want to go snuggle in my bed. I just want to be toasty warm. But if I snuggle in my bed, then I don't want to do anything. Like, there's no push for me to even eat. And so with the lack of sunshine, and then I don't even want to move, like my seasonal depression just like creeps its ugly head around the corner. It's like,
Right. your SAD.
And then what? Like, I just wait for the sunshine to return, like Thumbelina? Like, I don't even know if you could. Did you get that reference? Was that?
No, I didn't actually. I was about to say that. I was like, Thumbelina, who dat?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Somebody did. One person did who listens to this podcast, and they understand.
Hey, put something in the comments. I'll put a little, what's it called? You can put, like, questionnaires in some of the things. I'll just put a questionnaire. Did you get the Thumbelina reference?
Did you? No. Are you under the age of 35?
Oh, my God. Fuck you.
It's fine.
But, yeah, no. It's tough to focus. Like, I had to cancel my game this last weekend because I'm still in such disarray. And I feel like we're about to go into a battle that, like I say, is going to kill them. but they've already fought this guy. And they almost outright lost. Oh, I need to...
How
dare Adrian's going to just re-say that. And they outright lost. But they got saved. I think they're one level higher? All of them?
They're one level higher than the last time they did this?
But not enough to defeat this guy.
Ah!
Yes. So we'll see what happens. It's gonna be good though. I have a safety mechanism. I have something that they didn't pick up on, because otherwise they would have been like, oh, we got this fight, or oh, we don't got this fight. But they just, I'm just a little trickster. I'm a little trickster.
So they don't know that they're gonna die, or you have
No, they know they're gonna
them.
Die. I've already talked to them about new characters.
But you have a way of saving them. Is that what you're saying?
I do. Mm-hmm.
So if you're benevolent, that's the word. Benevolent.
Mm-hmm. But if they all die, they all die and they're ready. And I told them, like, after this fight, I'm going to, like, take a break and somebody else going to run for a bit. Do, like, a 4-8 session kind of thing. That way I can kind of gather my thoughts and figure out how I'm going to keep this going. But yeah. I'm excited.
What are you worried about the thinking of keeping it going? Is it the storyline? Is it just like your motivation to be a DM? Is it all of the above?
Kind of all the above, especially having to and kick somebody out. So that just took a lot of energy out of me. That was like the week before, but like I had to deal with, like, you know, mentally just anguish, to be honest. Well, but then also, like, if people die and I've already kind of like, I had session zeros about, or like discussions with them about their character, about how they tie into this. And I'm just like, what's it called? Into this world. Then I want to make sure that their new characters also either have a tie-in and why they would kind of come together. Whoever's remaining, I'll also have to figure out how they're going to keep going with their fallen comrades dead. Things like that. So I'm trying to figure that out. And I need time. I also need to figure out how I want to go about this in a way that is beneficial to all their characters, their new characters, their old characters, depending who lives and who dies. Like, you could easily get resurrected, but it's going to cost them a pretty penny. So they're going to have to do, like, I've already had some ideas. Like, so they're going to, like, oh, you have to do, it's not Spare the Dying, is it? No. It's when they're already dead, their decomposed bodies, they're going to have to hire a cleric every, we're going to say, 24 hours to stop them from decaying, essentially. So one, they might have their characters back, but they're going to have to gain new allies in order to get more money to keep these characters alive. And it's just like this ongoing trial of, do they want to keep these people alive? And if they run out of money, who do they stay alive? Like, it's just a bunch of shit. And I'm excited to go there, but I need to figure out all this planning beforehand. I have to make sure that I'm ready for all the questions, because usually I'm making up half this stuff on the spot.
Right.
But, like, that's what I'm afraid of, and that's why I need time away to kind of keep my head cool. Or else I'm just going to be, like, fucking fuzzed out, you know? Like, I hate shopping episodes. I hate making prices. I hate all that stuff. just, like, whatever the cost is. And they're like, what about the making of it. Like, what if I want to do it for a lesser price? I'm like, this just still goes into the shopping things. But one of my friends, one of the players, Joseph, he's just like, all right, here's a preliminary way of you, how you could do it from what you've already said in game. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you write notes because I fucking don't. Okay, that's why I record all these things. Okay, otherwise, don't know.
Well, then write out the shopping episodes. You just said you didn't like doing them, so then write them out. You're in charge. Well,
they want stuff. They want stuff.
Everybody wants stuff.
How do I get around that?
I
have to pre-determine that they want to go into a plant shop every time.
Just make all the characters drop loot. Like, let's just go back to our basics of you've got to ransack every single body, and then maybe you get a thing. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you wanted a magical sword? Oh, fuck, you kicked a rock and whoa!
Magical sword!
Like a fucking magic hat. It's called the collapsible sword. It's like those TV antennas. Oh, you're too young to get that reference. Dave will.
Stop! One of the lightsabers. Some of them. You know.
Oh, yeah. The lightsabers. That's something that more their speed.
Swing it open. I'm here for that. Yes, let's do it. I don't know. Okay, so like, let's... Okay, so then we have a problem. The problem is you don't like shopping episodes. So what are the solutions?
Yes.
You can make the characters or make the enemies drop loot. We could do that route.
True.
Mm-hmm. How else do you get loot to your people?
Right now, a lot of the magic weapons are being overpriced because one house is... hoarding them.
Okay.
So you have to make deals with other houses. I made a whole house system. It's too much sometimes. Too much.
That's okay. Right?
It is okay. It's fine. I like that they're into it. And part of me, like, I made it easy for me to remember what house was what because I attached a symbol to the letter that they begin with. But I know it's the tea house. It's the tea house. I don't even know it right now. Hold up, watch me. Just Joseph has a spreadsheet of everything already. Ithaca intrigue. Let's see, pinned messages, calendar. Here's the House of Ithaca. There we go. Yeah, the symbols. Its name is Tanakh. It's in the shape of a cross. It's a T. Their colors are white and gold. Religious stuff is their purpose. And then there's rivals. He's got theorized members, known members, theorized businesses, known businesses, parties relationships, party member relationships, other. He's got this down. He's got it all written down right now. I didn't even know it was this long. You know, he spruced it up. But tea alert. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. 12 houses. I had 12 houses. Like, I wrote it down in a book, and I don't know where that book is.
Is that normal for you to rely on it? I don't want to say rely like that. Like, that's not...
That's fine. You can say rely like that.
I mean, did you have that conversation with them?
My people to know these things?
Yeah, like, what was the consent? Like, hey, I know that you're the note-taker. Can you just, like, keep track of all the shit for me, too? Like, is that something
No,
that...
I didn't ask him anything. He just did it.
Yeah.
Because it'd be easier for everyone.
Including you.
Yeah. Because I have the book sometimes. And sometimes I, like, bring the book with me and I leave it in my car and I'm already halfway through, like, a session and then I need to bring up a guild and I'm just like, nah, I got this handy-dandy document.
I got this handy-dandy Dubrow.
Yeah, it's Joseph the rules lawyer. Like, I've talked about him before. Like, there can be a good relationship with rules lawyers versus a relationship where it's like, it's more of a warring thing. Due to him and I having an understanding that, like, him showing me the rule and then bringing up essentially receipts from the rules makers, I forget the names... It's like a tweet in response of something from like Wizards rule maker. I don't fucking know. He's like, this is the ruling, but it's ultimately up to the DM. So we've already had that conversation of how to go about it. I heard a story about like someone's just like using rules to kind of like slight other players because they want to be the leader, the lead in the, what's it called, in the campaign. Oh, you can't do that if there's lead in here. So we just might as well just use my ability, blah, blah, blah. Or they're like, something happens and they're like, well, the rule says X, Y, Z, so I don't want this to happen. That's not the rules. I'm like, well, it's because X, Y, Z that this happens. And they just fight. Like, I've seen some bad and I've seen some good. I'm glad that I have a good rules lawyer at this time.
Well, it also sounds like you built a relationship with your rules lawyer. So it's you're on the same right. page and not competing with each other. Because I could see we're in a campaign. If you haven't had that rapport building, that it would become an issue. Mm-hmm. That's important when you start talking about running your game. Because it does. It makes sense to have somebody else do it. Because you're worried about all of these other things that are happening in your campaign as the DM. And if we're going to talk about, like, campaigns as a whole, you want everybody to be having fun. And that includes maybe lessening the burden of having to keep track of all the minute details of, like, you know, stuff that although you have created and you've come up with, it just, like, that's a lot of stuff to keep track of, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'm very, very glad where we're at right now. Well, at least with the relationships I have with my players. We'll see how it goes. I think due to me having to, you know, removing somebody, I don't know if I even want to add somebody yet because we're in the middle of a campaign. But if I kill everyone, does it really matter? We'll see what happens.
Do you want to talk about removing your player?
No, I'm still kind of icky about it, to be honest. I'm just looking at something because I'm reading a note that I left the spell in, so that was just funny. I don't want that to go to waste, but I mean, it might if they die.
Well, I mean, if they die, then it was obviously worth it.
I know that they've got some. I don't want to say ace in hole. They've got some good backup.
Do they know they have backup?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. They don't have backup. They have abilities. One of them does, at least. That could work in their favor. But yeah, I can't wait. How about, let's also talk about, like, how we've kind of coped with change. Because, like, since...
Sorry.
What? I know. What are you going
to... It's a conversation.
Because I feel like...
that a lot.
It's happened a lot.
I want to be able to cope with change. Listen, I want to. I really do. Mm-hmm. It's just not programmed into me to do it very swiftly or to do it gracefully yet. And I don't know if it's because I've just realized that I don't do it and that I'm like adapting to that.
It's more, yeah.
But adapting to change.
Yes.
And like my personal day-to-day.
Your personal day-to-day if you want. I was going to mainly talk about me having to move and change venues and having to adapt to that and then how it kind of also kind of affected my game as well.
Well, then, yeah, talk about... We could talk about that. I'm here for it.
But I also want you in the conversation. It's not just about me.
Adrian, I can interview you. I can continue to ask you questions. If you just pause for a second, I can usually think of something that will... I promise, trigger you into saying something else.
All right. No
worries. I'm also too part of this podcast. Although sometimes I am a little overwhelmed with the idea that I should probably know some of these names, and that's really it, is that I feel guilty. Like, I should know who I'm talking to, but I just treat them like people, like probably how a lot of people want to be treated, just like people, you know?
Exactly.
People being people. That's my justification. For being lazy sometimes.
I mean, you put it like that, it doesn't sound good.
No, Adrian, so okay, you've moved, you've got a big move, so what did you do, how did you prep for it, because you know you had a big life event coming. Oh, okay, well then never mind.
I didn't prep well. I started and then I just decided fuck it, I'll take care of it when I get back here. And there's so much, like, shit that I didn't really need. And there's so much dog hair after I cleaned up. Like, I still have, like, 4 bags that I didn't take because I just didn't have enough room.
How did you prep your games, Adrian?
Oh, I thought you said prep for leaving.
I mean, yeah, you had game. Are your games currently paused? Were they paused? What'd you do before?
No, that Friday was available. Saturday morning, I drove to San Antonio. And then Saturday night, we drove back. Me and my dad with my mom's car. We stayed in Fort Stockton. And then drove an hour to get there. And we packed up. Me and my dad, I got into a fight with him, so that was fun.
What's moving without getting a fight with your parent?
No, because he's like, no, not all of this is gonna fit. I'm like, I wasn't even gonna bring this stuff. Like, you can't just leave it here. And then I'm just like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, I was just gonna throw it away. I was gonna toss it in the bin. He's like, you gotta take it to the dump. You can't just put it in the trash. I'm like, okay, sorry, I didn't know that. But like, still, I'd rather not take the junk and take the stuff first and then come back and take care of the junk. Like, yeah. Why am I prioritizing the stuff I'm throwing away opposed to the stuff? Otherwise, I'd feel like everything's gonna fit. Anyway, so I had that to deal with. And I'm like, I can't, like, fucking snap. And I'm like, I feel like I had a plan, and now you're coming in just telling me, like, do this, do that. Like, I feel like now I have to deal with mitigating you and taking care of this stuff. And then he kind of shut down and just like, whatever, I don't care. And just tell me what to do. Okay. So I had to tell him every single thing that I needed to do.
Well, I mean,
and that was fine, to be honest.
Since I'm older and wiser, I think that the big thing that happens, especially because this is your, like, not, like, first move, but, like,
no,
you have your, like, somewhat shit together, and I think that's a hard bridge to cross for a parent. I'm assuming. I didn't have parents that did that. But it's a hard bridge to cross. Like, I'm sure your dad's so used to being in charge, things like that, that, like, he just assumed that maybe you didn't have it done. Or, like, you needed him to help you or something that just...
I feel like as I get older, I agree with what you're saying, where, like, you know, the authority lies with him. And it's like, I'm my own person. I don't need to be told what to do all the time. Yeah, and I feel like I did leave a bit of a mess, but I took care of it. And we left. We cleaned up. Everything was in boxes and bags. Everything was fine.
That's fair. Moving
sucks. It just sucked that I was just. I literally said, like, because I want. I convinced him to leave Saturday night because I'm like, let me just drive. Let me just go back. I work very well in the dark. I can just take care of everything, okay? Because he wanted to go in the morning. I'm like, oh, I'm up now. I'm so ready to just keep going and driving and take care of this. Like, the longer I wait around, the more. One anxiety I'm gonna have, I'm not gonna even sleep tonight. Like, and I compromised with him because I want to go all the way, and he's like, I'm like, fine, if you feel like it's better to get a hotel, we can get a hotel. So, like, I tried, but then, like, when he started, like, taking over that idea that the, like, what to do, what's necessary, like, I know these things are necessary, I know what I want to do about these things, but, like, him coming in with, like, we're gonna put this in here, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do something. Like, it wasn't a conversation. It just felt like I was a kid again. And just, like, oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Infuriating.
I mean, it's hard. I'm sure it's hard to be. I don't know. I'm sure it's hard to be a parent. Like, you have this one role and identity with this one person. And now that this one person is, like, making their own decisions. And you have to trust that they can make those decisions on their own. And you have to trust that, like, you're capable of packing up your apartment by yourself. Because I'm sure, had I had any part of my family with me when we were moving out of Lubbock, that it would have been a complete shit show because we packed up our entire house in like 24 hours, which is not advisable.
That's a bit different.
We did have a house and then moved into my dad's house, which we were like, I've got to move all of this stuff. And like, as much as you can clean out and go through it, like there was a lot of emotional stuff happening in general. So like, I didn't feel ready to part with some things that probably needed to not come with us. And then it's like a lot. I don't suggest moving. I have now lived in the same place for 3 years. There's no way. I don't want to move again. That's hard.
Dude, I'm so ready to potentially move again.
My Abby, you're...
I know I'm not financially ready, but I'm mentally ready.
Yeah. Well, living with your family is also interesting. Fun? Is it fun? Mm-hmm. Fun is maybe not the word.
You know, as someone who doesn't have a job, it's necessary. So I'm enjoying this part of life where I'm just like, literally I'm just working out and like just relaxing and kind of getting and applying for schools and like I'm doing things at my own pace, but like I have deadlines to meet. It's pretty fun. So I'm excited. Grandma wants me to always, hey, pick this up. Hey, put that down. Put this here, put that there. which is fine. She's old. Like I gotta help her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But so three generations in one house.
It's
right
an
now?
Interesting time. Right, pretty much. My brother's in Florida. My sister's in Lubbock. She's coming home, though, so I have to go pick her up from Dallas. Because she's getting a friend to take her with her. And I'm like, that's not even... That's further, but whatever. I don't care. You want to hang out with a friend, that's fine. I don't care. I'll pick you up. But yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But due to me moving... So after all that fucking commotion, due to me moving, I've been kind of feeling... I think I've had one game so far here. But other than that, I kind of feel out of whack. It doesn't feel the same, if that makes sense.
The gaming or, like, getting into the motion of gaming?
Emotion, yeah. I just don't have the same vibe. Like, I gotta have to think about other things. But it's also because, like, I don't feel at home yet. I'm getting there. I'm getting better. I've got things ready. But right now it just feels like it does. I feel like I'm at somebody else's place at this time. So when I'm doing stuff, I'm online, I'm gaming, and there's other factors to consider other than just one other person. And it's now it's like two. And then whenever mom's home, three. So it just depends. So it's all over the place. It feels funky. Not in the good way.
So are you setting up anything for yourself to, like, get out of that funk? Because I know that, like, a big part of that is just, like, the writing aspect and being creative. And being creative means that you're in a safe space. And although it may be a safe space, like, I'm not saying that your family is not a safe space, right?
Yeah, they're vile humans. They hate me. No, they're good. They're good.
No,
they're very excellent people, but... Excellent people. Radical. they're good people. I don't mind hanging out with them. I just... It's just the mood that it brings when I'm not comfortable in my space. It's going to take some time.
Do you feel like you reverted back to, like, high school you? Or, like, the last time you lived at home?
I've hung out with a bunch of my high school friends since I got back. So maybe a little...
No, because even, like, I didn't even live at home, but, like, moving back to Dallas, I had to go through a lot of my, like, mental inventory of, like, the person I was when I lived in Dallas, which means I had to go through, like, the high school me, which is the worst. But it's weird. Like, nobody talks about that after high school or after college or like, any part. Like, that's the part that's left out of the Hallmark movie channel movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the emotional part of, like, I have to deal with, like, what it feels like to be home and to be in, like, this new body. But, like, I still have the old tendencies and whatnot and, right. You know.
I get that. I'm also, like, in a different room where I'm, like, I'm in my sister's room. Like, this doesn't feel comfortable.
What's wrong with your room? What'd they do to it?
Oh, my grandma lives there now.
Oh,
well, and then my brother's room is a computer place where all the other computers go. It was my mom's office space, which I'm glad they moved her because, like, she had so much stuff going on in there. Like, it was all in the bedroom for a while. Like, her computer space, the bed, that's it. And then my, like, dad's little corner where he writes. And now it's all in one room. Slowly the kids are moving out. And then Adrian's like, everyone else moved out. It's my turn. I'm going to stay here.
I'm an only child now.
I only had 1 year of this. I don't even remember it.
Okay. Did you pause your games while you were moving?
No.
because on Friday I played my game, and I told them I was moving, and then I think I played the 4th and the 11th. I played those two games, and actually, was there a bachelor party one of these weekends? I forget.
I think there was.
I had previous pauses, but I didn't play the 11th because that was last weekend. I played the 4th. That was my first game back, and then I, like, literally the first thing I set up was the computer because I wanted to keep going, but then I think one, kicking a player, and then two, just the exhaustion of just like, I'm not ready, and I'm not ready to be creative the whole time, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm going to play this next Friday. It might turn into a two-session fight. We'll see what happens. But I think after that, I'm going to give myself another break. And I'm going to let somebody else DM for a bit. So we'll see what happens. I didn't even take a break. I didn't need to, because I had time. I was still in my throne, my room, my safe place.
So yeah, but I mean, did you have time? I mean, you're sounding a little on the burnt out side. So like, did you have time? I mean, just because you haven't done anything doesn't mean that you're not burned out, because you're the exhaustion of moving, and then you're having to find your space, and then like, you had a wedding, which was also emotional, regardless of whose wedding it is. Like, that's still a whole big thing. And then you pile on top of that, like, the emotional distraught of having to like remove a player because they're being dumb. And then like, that's a lot of stuff that I think is easy to ignore, that like, oh, they're just like all these little baby tasks. Like, oh, it's no big deal. But from what it sounds like talking to you, like those are still big tasks that all require emotional stamina is the word, maybe.
But maybe, yeah, no, I can, yeah, that's fine with that word. No, I feel that. There's also a lot of stuff as an individual who just doesn't like to what's it called? Want to admit, and we'll go, and I can go as far and say that I just don't realize. So I feel like that could be a possibility. From what you're saying, that I actually am burnt out, but me as an individual hasn't realized it yet.
That's okay.
Maybe. I mean, I've been working, I've been putting my efforts into more physical tasks instead of creative tasks, but I'm trying to like figure out, I need a schedule. You know, we've talked about this in the first episode. We've talked about this now. I need a fucking schedule, dude. I brought from work, minus all the, what's it called? Minus all the HIPAA stuff, I ripped it out, I shredded it. I brought back my my book.
Your office stuff?
My planner. I don't fucking know where I put it. Yeah. I don't know
where I put it. I have cleaned out every office I've ever lived in. I've pulled it out. I was like, this next motherfucker, they can find this office supplies. I might need it. And so I have a stupid amount of just everything that you would find in an office, because I just assume my next office isn't going to have anything. But like, I mean, maybe that's bad. Maybe we shouldn't say that. But like, what are they going to do? Fire me? I feel that schedule, because I may not need a like hour by hour schedule, mm-hmm. which I just assume I need. That I need this. I still would benefit from an hour by hour. But I definitely need like a rhythm for my week to be successful. And I know part of me really needs that right now, especially with like the time change and everything happening. I just, in my old age, I know that about me. Am I doing it? Am I actively trying to make my life better? No. I just know this, and I do it. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard.
Do you think, I mean, to actively improve is its own kind of thing. It happens that like you fall back. I mean, I definitely fell back when I was living in Alpine. Not creatively. I did well creatively, but like mentally and physically, I was fucking destroying myself.
Yes, as you were not in Alpine anymore, I was very concerned.
Yeah, no, I'm right. Doing better. So I feel that like you saying that, you know, am I making an effort? No, I'm not, and I'm just doing it. It makes sense. It happens, and I don't think.
you should beat yourself up too much, because I feel like that also kind of makes this kind of cycle of hurt where you just keep putting yourself down. But also, you know, you have to balance that with not being content, because you, as an individual, we always want to be the best person we can. And, you know, and it's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a movement forward. And it's not going to be this easy peasy thing, okay? We're going to have up days, we're going to have down days. And sometimes our up days, we just want to fucking eat chips all fucking day, dude.
Don't eat chips all fucking day, because there's no nutrients. You're going to be hungry, and you're still going to be hungry, even after eating the chips all day.
I ain't about it. I let my grandma, she picked up some chips, and I'm just like, I had a couple, I'm like, this doesn't feel good.
I just finished, so in my quest to somewhat balance my life, right, I can identify, I have to put it like that, I think that tells us a lot. I can identify that I'm making strides in a positive direction. I know that I cannot get cozy when the weather is bad, especially today is raining. Like, it's raining and it's cold. Like, I should just be in a onesie underneath my blanket watching some trash TV.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I did not do the normal things I do when I come home, right? I kept my shoes on for much longer than I normally would have. I still have pants on, like, because there's work to be done. Like, there's, If I did not do these things, I would have been like, oh, Adrian, we don't need to record today, right? Because that's the motion that my body wants to be in. It's just like laying around and doing nothing. I am trying to not stay at work past at least 4:45.
Right.
I did learn that, and if I leave...
It's been a struggle, right?
It is a struggle, because look, like many people, teachers have it not great right now, but there's always something I can do. Like, I always can find something to do. So I'm struggling in not trying to get everything done all at once, even though that's what I want. And that's what gives me that dopamine release, is when you like get everything and you look around, and you're like, ah, it's all done. It's perfect. It's never going to be done. So now I'm trying to find like where I get those hits of dopamine that make me feel good about the work that I'm doing. So like really making it an effort to not stay at work as late as I normally would. So like on Fridays, I justify. On Fridays, I'll stay until like 6:37, because I can sleep in the next day and I'm not worried about like getting enough sleep. I'm not worried about having to be on performance the next day. I can literally just like lay around my house and just be a super introvert. But then that causes me to feel like I'm missing out on my Saturday, and I'm missing out on free time or time spent with my family. So then I feel bad because I've spent half the day. Then I want to stay up late because I missed out on the morning time with my family, or I missed out on Friday time with my family. So I want to stay up late, make that time up. But then I've just set myself up for Sunday to also have a really bad sleeping regimen, when I'm like, okay, well, I'll just sleep in. And then I can't get to sleep until 11, which then causes the rest of my week to like cycle wrong, because I didn't catch up on my, sleep, which, you know how I feel. You don't catch up on sleep. There's nothing like that. You just have to like consistently, maybe not for anybody, for everyone else it may work. Right, but for me, I have to be consistent in when I go to bed and when I wake up. Otherwise, I just am fighting the cycle of my body, and then I do the whole thing over again. So I'm combating that by coming home on time and really like enjoying my downtime. And doing things that I like, and not things that I'm just trying to avoid any anxieties or feelings that I have, which is a lot easier said than done.
It is. Like, I mean, I've had those days too, where like you gotta get your work done, you gotta get your work done, but like the work keeps coming. At some point, you gotta say, I'm gonna enjoy some of my fucking life while I got it, you know? Either it be rest or something, but like I can't be so subservient to this clock, this job.
I know it's harder, it's easier for me to say it as someone who's not employed anymore and who has a safety net, but like when I was working, I would just like, okay, that's it. You're good. Enjoy your day. I mean, might be also, it's like my work was emotionally draining. Mm. So I had to make sure I was taking care of myself. It's just tough. I mean, do you have like a social structure in your life? I saw your eyes pop up.
Do I have people that I talk to regularly?
Mm-hmm. Either no. Be like at work or outside of work.
I find it very difficult because Michael and I both work in education. It's very difficult for me not to talk about education like 24/7. So the people I'm around all day long are teachers, and we can talk about, and I have their students, right? So I can talk to other teachers about their specific children. Like I can. Where last year where I had my own classroom, I wasn't talking about students as much as like what to do to help them and about the teaching itself. I don't have either one of those. I don't talk to other people about content, but I can talk to other people about their students. And then it's like the joking, like eyes big. We have, it's only one more week. And then we have, you know, Thanksgiving. It's one more week and we have whatever break. Like we just have to make it 24 hours and it's the weekend, right? I don't. And what I've noticed without having like a regular social calendar that doesn't involve education is that my anxiety with talking to people is through the roof. We just talked about it, like talking to the Discord, our baby Discord. Every time I have an interaction, I feel like it's one, I feel like I'm absolutely chaotic when I'm like, I don't know what to say to these people. And two, I feel like my energy is so all over the place that I feel like it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Hold on. I just feel like it's not authentic. Like I'm not showing up as an authentic version of myself. I am playing a character when I talk to people who aren't teachers and that aren't Michael. Like Michael would be the only person that sometimes I still feel like I'm putting a show on. Like I'm still a different version of me and not like an authentic version of me. Does that make sense?
I guess. And I'm like I get the mask idea of like not authentic. Like you show the part that you feel like is most comfortable and most personal to that person, a part to like everybody else. Like I can tell you that, like I can be 100% with you. But there's things that I don't talk to you about all the time, you know, because we're going to be talking about, you know, RPGs and this and that, like 100 other things, right? I feel like there's some things that you want to say, but like, I don't know if they'll get it. I don't know if they'll understand. Am I just wasting my breath? Is this going to be awkward? Do I have to explain more? Like, there's 100 questions that run through your mind when you start talking to people, right?
Yes.
Yeah, or is it like 99 or
it's like 102%. Like
yeah.
It's a constant in my and I think it's because I don't know. I think it's because I don't talk to people that I'm like, "Oh my god, how do I talk to people?"
How do you talk to people with like other like interests that one, they might not understand, or you 100% understand, like, what questions am I supposed to ask? Like when this guy kind of came to me at the gym, and he was just like, hey, you new here? And I'm like, yeah. Just let him talk. I wanted to wipe down the machines, but he's like, come over here. And I'm like, okay. Like, I was like, I'm leaving so many machines behind. I need to wipe them down. And I thought about it, like, why didn't I say anything? It was like, one, you didn't know what repercussions, you don't know this guy. You'd rather deal with the social repercussions of what may be instead of the ones that are right in front of you by stopping this guy from talking. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's fair. You're okay with that. Just, you know what you need to do next time is just grab some towels next time. I made a plan after that. Like, I was ready for the next interaction just like that. I just, like,
It was just so much all at once, and I felt like I he kept talking and he didn't even say his name, and I'm just like in the middle of one of his sentences, I'm like, I'm just gonna fucking ask it. I don't care. What's your name? Just like interrupted him. I don't care the social ramifications. I just feel awkward not knowing your name. You're just some guy, and I don't like just considering you some guy.
Hey, bro.
Like that was like, yeah, that dude, bro. It was interesting. And I feel like you have that 100 times more than I do. Because I have had to be assertive with some things. And I feel like it's also very different in how we play as a society, our genders, right? Like, oh, certain genders can't do this or that or say this or that. Or, you know, the social construct of it. You know, even though we should be able to do everything equally, that's not the case because people have different ideas and what's supposed to happen in conversations and interactions. Sorry.
Capitalism.
Patriarchy. You're not supposed to share your feelings. Shit like that.
No, why would you share your feelings?
Yeah, that shows weakness. I don't want that. Fuck off with your weakness, you fucking bitch. I don't know. Man, society sucks.
Thanks, Adrian, for putting another thing on my list that I need to make, like, friends or, like, talk to them and not just talk about, like, teaching or tabletop RPGs.
It's tough. It's tough, to be honest. Like, she's not married. She's got a boyfriend. She's got a kid. She's like, I don't know how you make friends. And I'm probably like, I apparently just attract them. Somebody approaches me at the gym. I'm not a lovely lady, but I do look helpless.
Oh no.
But yeah, I don't know. It's nice. It's good to have a support system because otherwise, well, one, for at work, you feel like you're in it together with people opposed to feeling like this, the feeling of like, I'm alone, I'm by myself. And then outside of work, to be able to talk about the things you want to talk about the things that, you know, that matter to you. Because otherwise you're just like, I'm just going to keep this in my head and it's got nowhere to go. And I'm going to have fun doing everybody else's conversation points and not mine, because you're an important person and you need to learn that, like, I want you being able to talk about the things you want to talk about is important too, because you matter and all that stuff. Don't make that cringe face. It's just basic human necessity. It's not you're not special, Alex. You're just important, okay?
I have been reading a lot, though. So, like, on the other side of things that I'm really good at, I'm very good at reading. Yes. And
that's good. Comment that in the Discord.
I read, like, 4 books in the last 2 weeks.
Nice. What are you doing? I'm bad at reading. Don't mind the bookshelf behind me. I don't read. It's my sister's bookshelf. It's got all these YA novels.
Okay, don't talk about YA novels. Like, they did not... They don't serve a amazing purpose in our life.
I never read enough. I mean, I read, like, up to the fifth book in Harry Potter. I read one book of Narnia. I read Mockingjay.
Did you read any of the other Hunger Games? You just read Mockingjay.
No. I just couldn't. I don't read much. I read Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I just read Jeanette McCurdy, which was Sam iCarly.
Yes, I know. It's about her mother, or about her life, but there's a lot about her mother.
Yeah, I'm glad my mom died.
Yeah, there we go. That's the title.
Yeah. It was very good. It was a very interesting read. Because it starts off as her as a little kid, and it sounds like she's talking as a little kid, like, or writing as a little one. And then as she grows up, like, her writing also grows up, which is a very fun stylistic memoir.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
cute.
It's good. And then everything else is just like, young adult fantasy novel.
That's fine. I don't care. Dude, I don't read. It doesn't matter what I think, you know? Like, my threshold is, like, good 150 page book. That's fine. And then these fucking kids out there are just like, I read 300 pages in one day. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? How do you do that?
I read I'm Glad My Mom Died in 4 hours and 6 minutes. Because my app will tell me.
Nice.
4 hours and 6 minutes. That's a lot.
Must have been a good read. It sounds like it was a good read. With, like, stylized choice of how it was written, as well as the material. And, you know, you see a person for what the surface level of what was shown to you through media. And now you get to know what was going behind the scenes and who... I mean, what they thought as a child and things like that. So it does sound interesting.
See, you're like, literary. Why are you like you don't know how to talk about books or like you read?
I know
like,
how to talk about books. I hate reading them. I don't know what to. Listen, I can't tell you that I fucking hate books. It's not like that. I think I did say that sometime before. I just can't read because either one, I hate the feeling of. Getting in good with a book and having to be ripped apart, that's like one of the worst feelings. It makes my blood boil. Like, I can't. So I'd rather not try at all than to try to read.
Is it the being torn away, like, you need to be able to read and you need the space to read, or, like, you don't want the story to end if you fall in love with it?
It's like, hey, Adrian, can you do this for me? No, I want to read this book. This is all I want to do today.
This is all I was all consuming.
Yeah, but because I've had too many times where that's happened and I get kind of unreasonably mad, I just stop reading because it's affecting my interpersonal life. Yeah, I'm a broken person, dude.
No, absolutely not. Because I feel the same way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to put checkpoints in my head when it's appropriate for me to stop or, like, come up for air or, like, check in with the rest of the world. But, yeah, I need to check in with the world. So I like to do chapters. I like chapters. I like chapters. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to stop at them. But some of the books I've read, the chapters just go on and on. And you're like, no, I need to stop. But, like... This feels like a really inconvenient place to stop. And even in the middle of, like, the transition scene. So, like, if it's maybe not a chapter change, but it's, like,
the dot. Yeah.
I'm still like, well, I mean, I could stop here, but or not. Just keep going. And I think that's my downfall is that I do find the way, and I'm a dragon about it like you. Then I'm like, well, this is my job right now. I'm going to read this book and read it all the way through, which is probably why I read so many books as a child, because I just didn't have to. I had two other siblings that could entertain my parents. I could just hunker down and read the entirety of any book I wanted to read in one sitting.
Yeah. I was the oldest, so I had to take care of the little ones.
Yeah, fuck them. They could take care of themselves.
They couldn't. Only Ileana can take care of herself. Dante, I'm not too sure.
That feels like that's a pretty normal trope within families with two boys, is that the girl can usually take care of themselves.
It was just because he's like... I think by the time I was out of the house, Ileana... I mean, it was a 7-year gap, you know? So,
that's a big
dad game. Was like, I love my daughter, and take care of that. And so the boys have to entertain themselves. So we do whatever.
Is she the youngest?
Mm-hmm. She's the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. The baby they've always wanted, a girl. I know this. He denies it, but I know this.
Listen, I know. I was my dad's favorite. I don't know. I will die on the internet. I will die on the internet claiming that. And I don't think my brother or sister would fight with you.
Why would they fight me for that?
Because you allowed it to be posted.
Okay, that makes sense.
No, I definitely think... No, I don't think.
Anyway, we can wrap this up. We started with D&D, but we'll call it the check-in. A check-in.
Listen, no, this was like the Dungeons and Degrees podcast. Yeah. Like the
title. The title.
Yeah, like we actually should be doing sometimes.
But no, I think it's good to check in every now and then.
It is. Yeah.
But also kind of like being okay with stopping, changing causes a lot of things to kind of fuck with your head. Being okay with change. I'll probably cut most of the political stuff unless the Patreon. Only the Patreon will get it.
Oh, only the Patreon gets the good shit.
No, the good shit. And then, yeah, no. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. We did the Dungeons and Degrees this time.
We were Dungeons and Degrees.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think I the conversation's important, right? Because people do go through real life stuff. Like, it does happen. There right. is a conversation about, like, what our bodies do in the year. So I think you can apply that to, like, your life, and you can apply that to your game. Like, you're going through it right now. This is the time that I think both you and I are concerned, because this is when we tend to get the big sads. And we're, like, actually set up to be okay. And maybe not to go into the big, big sads, and maybe just like a mini sad, or just like a daily sad, not like
yeah,
a sustained sad.
I
think
that. Real is going to be kind of show forth that, you know, that these things happen. You know, we can show the polished parts, the interviews, all we want, but there's the reality, the realness of this podcast. It belongs to this part right here, where we just tell you about what's going on and how to cope and things like that. Because, like, who's going to go through and tell you, like, I moved and it kind of drained me, you know? You know, that's super hyper-specific. But, I mean, if you know our podcast, if you've been listening along, that's us. That's us being hyper-specific and being real with y'all.
That's what you come for.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Sometimes.
If not, then thank you for listening anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. We appreciate every moment that you're here. And if you enjoy us, please subscribe to our podcast, wherever pods are cast. Also, feel free to give the gift of sharing our podcast to your friends, families, and foes. That'll help us continue on. Actually, I don't think it'll help us continue it on. It'll just help bring more joy to more people. Because I love doing this podcast with you, Adrian. And even on the days that we are Dungeons and Degrees, like, I'm going to go on my life and I'm going to feel better about things that I'm doing and being more intentional because, you right. know, I have somebody to talk to about it. Which also probably could be a therapist, but like.
Those are expensive. But this podcast is free.
Free. If you don't want it to be free and you want to help pay for this art that's happening, please join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddegrees. You can join the ranks of Skylar, Megan, Alex, Wani, Lucy, Guy, Mr. Lawrence himself, Paige, and our showboat of a person, the first person in line for any red carpet season opening of a Jimmy John's, Noah.
Amazing.
Get it? Because we were talking about sandwiches earlier.
Oh, that's right. I did not get Listen. It. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that callback.
But once again, thank you for joining us every episode we post. And, you know, if you want to find us on social medias, you can also find us on any of the social medias at Dungeons and Degrees.
Thank you all so much for listening. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
Go have some fun.